time for the ladies to be heard. Welcome to Muscle Girls, Inc., presented by RxMuscle.com. You are about to hear two of the smartest and sexiest IFBB pros tell it like it is. Here are your hosts, Colette Nelson and Chrissy Chin.
Welcome to the sixth episode of Muscle Girls, Inc. My name is Colette Nelson, IFBB professional bodybuilder, and I'm joined by my sexy co-host, IFBB pro figure competitor, Chrissy Chin. How are you doing there, Chrissy?
I'm doing great, Colette. How are you doing?
Well, I'm still recovering from the Metropolitan, the Bev Francis and Steve Weinberger kickoff show of the year over there at the BMCC Tribeca Performing Arts Center in New York City, where I was up from like my typical stint when I do these shows, like 5 a.m. to like 3 a.m. So I'm like, I was literally shot all day on Easter. I could barely function because, I mean, I got like a last minute hair and makeup at like 5 in the morning. Uh-huh. And then I had to do Aaron Riley at 8, and I had to drive somebody to the city at 7. And it just, I had to choreograph a routine. I tossed that on top of my mix of crap to do during the day. I don't know how I do it, Chrissy. I'm literally like on fire all day long.
I don't know how you do it either. You're the jack of all trades. But I remember that a couple times you've gotten up before 5 a.m. And
oh,
you're like, Chrissy, you know, be in my room by 5. I'm like, what time is starting? 4:30. I'm like, 4:30? It's like pitch black. Who gets up that time?
I think the earliest I started was 3:30 in the morning one time because I had like nine girls to do before 8 o'clock. It's like impossible.
But, well, you know, how was the show? Tell me about the show.
Yeah, the show was, it was good. I mean, listen, Steve's shows and Bev's shows are always, New York is a great place for bodybuilding. I don't know what else to tell you.
I agree.
I mean, they sell out. It's always, mm-hmm. you know, a full crowd, a fun crowd. You know, they had the pro fitness there, which was, you know, that's a lot of fun to watch. And I had done Donna Jones, who's actually doing an Iron Asylum training for RX Muscle with us today. And I did Aaron Riley's makeup, who's just, oh my gosh, I did some killer makeup on her, I have to say. But she's going to do some Iron Asylum training the following week. And those two, Aaron was really happy. She placed sixth in, you know, her routines. Chris, remember when we were watching her? She's good, man. She's got some.
No, she's a very powerful athlete that does amazing moves. And I've seen a couple of her videos on her training and stuff.
Oh,
and she is one strong lady.
She is. So we're excited to get her in the gym. And then
awesome.
The winner of the pro fitness was Shannon mm-hmm. Matarad, and mm-hmm. second was Trish Warren, which she was really thrilled about. And then third was Tina Durkin, who now are the three qualified for the Olympia, Miss Fitness Olympia. So I was very impressed with all of them. But, you know, I got to tell you, Chrissy, of all the routines, you know how you and I are like these routine critics all of a sudden after our like critique of the Arnold, you know, you would have loved Miriam Capes. Unbelievable what she was doing with this baton that was literally taller than her. It was like she was doing nunchuck type moves to it, jumping over it, flipping around it. It was unbelievable. And I don't understand how people that have this creative routines don't mm-hmm. score well. If you're 50% of your score is your routine, I don't get it, Chrissy.
I wonder how she did in the routine rounds, because when I saw her pictures online and her physique rounds, I thought she came in great shape.
This is what I'll never understand, because, you know, it's like anything else. We can't figure it out. Not taking away from anything from the winners, because they were just as amazing, but it just seems so strange to me. So I'm hoping she's just doing the Europa this next week, and I'm hoping to see her jump up. I can't imagine her not. That's how good she was. So that was, I mean, the fitness was insane. And then, you know, it was the kickoff of in New York of the NPC bikini. And remember, we had Miss Elise Firestone on the show with the eating disorders, and she actually placed first in her division. So she was really,
oh, congratulations, Elise. We love Elise.
Yep. So she was really thrilled. And, you know, she's looking mm-hmm. into thinking about doing the junior USAs, you know, because they're giving
out
six pro cards there. So why not? I say, why not mm-hmm. do it? Again, a disappointing three bodybuilders in the show. So that was unfortunate, because it's just sad to see that, you know, it's weird. You know, at the national level, you see, you know, female bodybuilding, like JM said, has talked about in previous interviews that, you know, the past has had, you know, 75 bodybuilders, I think, at nationals last year. And then it's just, a phasey thing, I think. But I have to say that the first place went to a Samantha Hillman, and she actually trains at Bev Francis's gym, and this girl's good. I've seen her train, and I'm like, you know what, why aren't you doing bodybuilding? And then she just ended up jumping into the show. I was like, oh my gosh, that's weird. And I saw her like a few months earlier.
Was that her first bodybuilding show?
Yeah, her very first bodybuilding show. Never did anything before.
Wonderful.
But, you know, one of those girls that just walks around the gym, you're like, man, you got a sick physique. So
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then the men's bodybuilding, the standout of the evening was this heavyweight, this guy named Sean Young. He was 44 years young, and this guy, Dave does an interview with him on RX Muscle, and he actually was a crack addict.
Wow.
For like 10 years, and he used bodybuilding. He's like, he just woke up one day, he's like, I can't do this anymore. And that just goes to show you like how positive, I mean, bodybuilding, I truly believe this, like the bodybuilding lifestyle can be so healthy. It can change your life. And he's an interesting guy. He's doing the Masters Nationals, so he is definitely going to be a threat. So that was my weekend, man. It was crazy. Easter just kind of came and went. You know, us over here, all work, no play. I mean, Jeff, the producer, practically lives here in the house. Everybody was here, voiceovers, you know, tagging photos. Chrissy, it's nonstop action over here.
Does Jeff have his own room in the house yet?
Yeah, I think he's going to be taking over your room that you're going to be using while you're here. And we'll throw Jeff on the couch. I don't know. He's pretty easy to deal with, I got to tell you. Oh, my gosh. Anything over there exciting over on your weekend?
You know, believe it or not, I finally had a nice relaxing weekend.
Wow,
you know,
Christ.
We just relaxed, you know, ran our errands, you know, rested a little bit, caught up on rest, which was well needed. You know, you always, especially during prep time, I just need a little more rest. And then, well, Easter's never the same when you can't have peeps and chocolate bunnies. So
no peeps, Chrissy.
You know, I did not do it, even though I was tempted. I had to tell Dave, I did not eat a peep, and I did not have any bite of a chocolate bunny, not even of its little bunny tail.
So you're actually coming out here this weekend, and you're doing an Iron Asylum training, I believe, right?
Yes.
Six weeks out.
So 6 weeks out. So I'll be 5 weeks when we film it.
Oh, you're
so I'm feeling
saucy.
Really good for the show, and I compared pictures from my last year, about 5 weeks out from my first show last year, and I'm a lot way ahead of last year, so I'm really excited.
Love it. Love it. You know, before we begin, I've got to thank our number one sponsor, ALR Industries, for all their great products. And I think, we were making jokes the other day about the porn star.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, Chrissy, that was great when we had Lena on about that product in particular. We were saying we should give it to our buddy, to our Dave's little second in command guru over there, Sean Andrews. We're like, Sean, we want you to try out the porn star. I mean, not that he would even ever think about using it because he's, you know, so shy with the ladies.
Yeah, it was awesome having Lena on. And yeah, porn star is, if everything goes as scheduled, should be released sometime this month. So
it's everything
right
the name
corner.
Says it is and more, Chrissy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You heard, you know, Arthur L. Ray and Lena talk about how they've been, you know, R&Ding and doing R&D and testing the product, you know, at home. So
I think testing the products at home is very critical, you know what I mean? With someone you love.
Yes, and one of the benefits of working for the company is that, you know, Troy and I get to sample all the stuff, you know, before, you know, we're the little gerbils.
Oh,
so, you know,
I love
the porn star one is not so bad to be.
No, it's definitely
out.
Not. You know, I want to do a shout out again for www.amysconquest.com. They're actually doing a little promotion this month, and they're picking randomly three of their site members, and they're giving them free access to a website. And actually, I was one of the contributors. I gave them a username password for my membership, so you might just be lucky enough to win. And who knows? I've got quite the website. Since I do it myself, I've got like 9 years of photos. When people are like, oh, Colette, you know, I really wonder why you don't have any, if I'm a little lagging on the updates. I'm like, I only have 9 years of photos and like 1,000 videos on there. I mean, how could you possibly have gone through it all? But, you know, the demands.
The demand for Colette.
Oh, God, stop it. Oh, man.
Well, we also have to mention that Monica Brand, who is on our show, first, good luck to her this coming weekend. She'll be competing at the Europa show, but she's also having a fem camp up in your neck of the woods in New Jersey, actually.
Right.
So for, you know, any East Coast girls that would like to attend her camp, you can get information on her website, which I believe is www.femcamp.net.
And she has all of her dates on there, because I think there's one out your way in California, too. So definitely check it out.
Oh, wonderful. Yep. Okay, yeah, so if anyone's interested, just visit that website.
Cool.
And we're going into our Did You Know's, Colette. So, you know, I was surfing through the internet, and, you know, actually, you know, this is one of my fun segments. You know, I like looking at and reading some of the stuff. So some of the ones I found this time, I had to read it more than once, and I was like, whoa, did I read that correctly?
And these are true, and this is for real, you know?
Yeah, this
everything
is
we're about
stuff.
To say is real.
This is all real. The people do these things. So there are people out there that have actually done this. So the first one, Colette, this man actually got stabbed over his flatulence. Okay, when I first read that, I was like, well, I read the title, and I was like, what are they talking about? So believe it or not, a man was actually stabbed after literally he was, I guess, stinking up the room, a motel room. He was with five friends in the Houston area that were in a hotel room one night, and, you know, one of them just had an unbelievable bad flatulence problem. So the other man got so upset, one of the other five got so upset, that he actually threw a knife at the guy, cut his leg, and then he ended up stabbing him in the chest.
Not good. I don't recommend throwing knives when you're a little irritated that somebody has a little farting problem. You know what I mean?
I know.
Oh, my gosh. Well, how about this one? And this I actually heard that happened on the American Idol show, too. A cereal box typo sends caller to a sex line. And what happened was, this is an Oregon company, and the packaging, I guess it was called Peace Cereal, had a typo on the box. And so you would call the 800 number, and it actually was supposed to be reaching the Golden Temple of Oregon. But instead, when you called, it would say, "Do you love sex? Is that why you called?" And so what ended up happening, obviously, is like these were being shipped all over the place. And wow. I can, you know, people are, they're very conservative in this country, and they get all upset, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm, it caused a little bit of a stink.
Oh, wow. I guess they didn't proofread the numbers.
No, they did not. No, good, bad editing, Chrissy, bad editing.
Bad editing. They need to hire me or you.
Yes.
Bad editing. The next one, believe it or not, okay, this, I was reading this. Now, there's actually a hamburger, okay? This, there was a warning sign for this huge hamburger, and it's actually from your home state of Michigan.
Grand Rapids, Michigan. I know exactly where that is.
Okay, so the West Michigan Whitecaps, okay, had no plans of putting on a warning label on this enormous new hamburger that they're selling during the season. Okay, and then there's some vegan advocacy groups that are, causing a sting, saying it's so unhealthy, because believe it or not, this hamburger is actually 4,800 calories. It's
going
to be sold at the ballpark in Michigan. But listen to what it features. Okay, it's 4 pounds. So this is 4 pounds of meat. Okay, it costs $20. It's actually 5 beef patties, 5 slices of cheese, and nearly a cup of chili, with also tons of salsa and corn chips all on an 8-inch bun. Now, how does that all fit on an 8-inch bun clip?
I don't know. 4 pounds of, oh my gosh. That's a lot of food right there.
Can you imagine eating all that? I would not feel so good after that.
No, you definitely.
I'm talking about flatulence, a cup of chili.
You might get a knife thrown at you. Stabbed. Wow. You know, I mean, I start seeing it, though, all over the place where they start putting calorie counts on stuff, you know? Apparently, a 4,800 calorie count burger might deter some buyers, but then again, when you're at a ballpark, you've been drinking a few beers, so you never know.
It tastes good after you drink a few beers.
Well, this was a good one because you sent me this link. Like, you got to listen to this. You got to listen to this. And this is, you know, this is the fun time of our week when Chrissy and I send each other links to listen to of these crazy things go on. This was in Fairfield, Connecticut, right around my neck of the woods over here, where apparently, you know, this is the whole husband and wife, you know, quarrels that happen in the middle of the night or whatever. But she was trying to reconcile with her estranged husband, and she, in his sleep, she handcuffed herself to him, and she started biting his torso and his arms when she phone called the police. So when I was listening to this, the poor guy's like, he was handcuffed to her, and she's brutally biting the poor guy. So it was pretty interesting to actually witness and listen to while this is going on. And, you know, he tells the police, you know, she was, you know, obviously his wife is obsessive and, mm-hmm, and a danger to his family and friends. And now you can see why, you know, he wanted to break up with her or whatever. But I think she's being held on like a $15,000 bond. And can you imagine these 911 operators? I mean, can you imagine what they hear in a day?
Oh, I heard him, and I was like, that's why I had to send you that link. I just heard his voice saying, oh, she's biting me.
And they were arguing,
like,
Chrissy, they were arguing over a Christmas tree. I mean, yes.
I think there are, you know, other things to argue about.
Christmas tree, Chrissy.
You know, Christmas tree.
I agree.
Well, I think you'll like this one, Clip. Okay, a man has pleaded that no contest to indecent exposure after he was arrested by police for performing a sex act with a car wash vacuum.
Nothing like a car wash vacuum, Chrissy. And you know, I'm sure that goes, they're like, this is a really good suction. Oh my gosh. Can you imagine?
Can you believe pulling up your car, getting gas, and then you see someone in the, you know, car wash area.
Can't control yourself.
Pleasing himself. I'd be like, what the heck is going on? What was I thinking when I woke up this morning and came to this gas station?
Well, here's my my final thought of the day. And this comes from Mr. Joel Goldberg, the one and only female bodybuilding connoisseur, who is at a chess tournament in Connecticut at Foxwoods, okay? They're looking for grandmaster chess players. But who does he see on the roster? Was Miss Andrula Blanchette, which is a former Miss Olympia, lightweight Miss Olympia. And who actually I trained with one or two times and, you know, had lunch with a couple of times. And it's amazing. She had just completely, you know, she hasn't trained in 3 years, and she's married to a very wealthy man, and she's living the life, and she basically, her dream now is to become a grandmaster chess player. Who knew?
Oh, wow.
No.
Chess is a tough game.
Hell yes, right? So that was, I thought, those that would, you know, aware, which, by the way, we definitely have to do a show of where are they now kind of show, because that's interesting.
Oh, I think that would be fun.
Oh, yeah.
That would be a lot
people
of fun.
That just, Jan Wirth, what happened to her? You know, there's a lot of people that just were really good and just never did anything. So it'd be interesting. Or disappeared, actually. Well, Chrissy, it's time to introduce our what's in the email bag. And they just keep coming and getting interesting and interesting each week. And I'm just wondering what you got on the docket for me this week.
I found one, so I was flipping through the emails and, you know, always try to pick one, and, you know, I was tired of all the pictures I was getting, so I decided to just go with a simple, you know, clear-cut email. So the gentleman writes, Dear Chrissy, I've seen your videos and pics online, and you're purely perfection. So already he won brownie points for me, Colette, okay?
Right.
He says, will you be my goddess and crush melons between your muscular thighs and also just lift me up and just dominate me? I am 6'2", 200 pounds. He's giving me his stats, okay? He's like, but you look so strong, so please answer me.
Chrissy, I have to answer. Yeah, you have to answer this. Can you lift a 200-pound man over your head? I mean, you know, what do these guys think? I don't even know if I could do that. I mean, shit.
I would be a comic book hero.
Yeah, you would.
Superpowers.
Yeah. Well, Chrissy, I don't know if you saw my She-Hulk that I did for BarelyPolitical.com. Did you ever see that little stint?
Yes.
Well, it seems to be haunting me, Chrissy. Apparently, a gentleman is asking me, is it possible... Mm-hmm. I would like to paint your entire naked body green like the She-Hulk and then wrestle me to the ground and submit me. Nothing turns me on more than that muscular woman holding me down against my will. This has been a fantasy of mine for quite some time, and I would love for you to make this happen. By the way, even Arab men have needs sometimes. Now, what that was about at the end, I don't know, because I didn't know that they specifically... never had needs, and all of a sudden he admitted to it, but that was the email. So apparently he would like me to perform my She-Hulk domination.
But you know, when he's painting you while you're standing there naked, he would use like the smallest, teeniest little paintbrush so that it would take an hour to finish painting you.
No kidding, Chrissy. I'd be like, hello.
You finished get out my the, right big toe.
Right. Get out the air gun, please. You know?
Oh, have fun. Well, we love getting those emails, don't we?
Yes, those are a lot of fun.
Well, we also have our segment where we go on to RX Muscle and we have our forum question. So, actually, this week's forum question comes from our women's forum on rxmuscle.com, and it comes from RX Muscle member Captain Cardio 58. So, Colette, he asked the following question for us. I've been competing for 4 years and understand what's mentally, emotionally needed for me to get through my prep. However, my girlfriend's getting ready for her first figure show, and I know it'll be tough, you know, for her diet and emotionally as a woman. What do you need most during your prep from your significant other to make it through?
Well, you know, Chrissy, I have to say that I have seen, and I know you have, a lot of relationships break up as a result of preparing for competition, which I honestly think is just too bad because... You know, you have to go into each contest prep with, you know, the notion that you have chosen to do this. You know, I used to get, when I first started competing, and I'd be walking down the streets of New York, and I'd see somebody with a bagel, and I am, everybody knows, I am like the nicest, I have this, I want everybody to love me complex, but I used to have like these feelings of like psychotic, like, I don't even, homicidal type tendency. I see this person with a bagel being like, what the hell are they eating that bagel? But remember, I'm the one that has chosen to do this, you know? So you kind of have to surrender to the fact that, you know, there's going to be sacrifice and that it is only food and that the food is going to taste just as good today as it is. Guess what, Chrissy? A chocolate chip cookie today is going to taste just as good now as it is 6 weeks from now. You know?
And, oh, I know.
And it's like we get so caught up on it being... Mm-hmm. You know, this emotion, this emotional relationship we have with food, that you kind of have to surrender that it is only food and that your temperament's going to change a little bit. You're a little more edgy and you really just need a calming. It's like you need a calming partner to just say, you know, it's going to be OK, to know when to leave you alone, to not push your buttons, because your buttons can be pushed very easily, at least, you know, what when you're preparing for a show. And if somebody likes to just nab you and get underneath your skin, it doesn't seem to fly when you've got that 16 weeks, especially like the last 4 to 6 weeks to a show. It's that support. I mean, I think you need that support and that just calming voice and that, you know, just that knowing when, because Dave was always good with me. He knew when to just leave me alone. He's, you know, he's really good to just say, you know, I don't want to bother her. I just, instead of nagging me with certain things or just not asking me to do certain things, because he knew I wasn't going to want to do it. So just don't ask it, you know? So it's knowing your partner too.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. I think that's the most important thing, just knowing your partner and stuff. But, you know I could not do it without Troy and the support he gives me. I mean, you know, like you said, though, you know, there's a couple of days where I know I get a little not so nice. And, you know, he looks at me, he's like, you chose to be a pro. You're choosing to compete. And I'm like, you know what, honey, you're right. So, you know, he keeps me in check, which is good. So he keeps me in check and, you know, when I'm, like, looking in the mirror sometimes wondering if I'm on track and stuff, you know, he gives me words of encouragement, but he's always brutally honest. You know, either he says, you know, Dave's right, you need to really up that cardio, no more cheat meals, you know. The brutal honesty really helps, though. So, you know, he knows what to say, knows when to say it, and, you know, he pushes me that little extra edge in the gym. You know, certain days, you know, when you get tired, when you do, you know, 2 sessions of cardio, then you have to go back and hit those weights hard and stuff. So sometimes having someone push you to get through that last, you know, working set, you know, is so well appreciated.
Yeah, but it's not easy. I'm going to tell you, he knows that he's been there before. It's not easy. You're going to need patience and you're going to have to be prepared for, especially this is her first show, a lot that comes with it. And you got to just deal with the, roll with the punches, because you don't want it to destroy a relationship. It's silly. It's silly.
Well, I think he's already heading the right direction. Like, he's actually already, you know, just trying to be there for support, you know, by posting this question. So we have to thank Captain Cardio for posting the question. And you know, it shows that he cares, you know, so it's kind of sweet.
And keep the questions coming. Definitely.
Absolutely. We appreciate all the questions that have been posted. And, you know, we encourage our listeners to post more questions for us so we can share them on the radio.
Well, Chrissy, it's time for a much-needed break to give our little sponsor some love. So I'll see you in 2 minutes.
Gotcha. I'll see you then.
Muscle Girls, Inc.
ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent, legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today.
Species Evolutionary Nutrition. The Species line of products champion original thinking and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit SpeciesNutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. Species Nutrition. RxMuscle.com. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise, up-to-the-minute news, and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Hi, this is IFBB Pro Heather Armbrust, and you're listening to Muscle Girls, Inc. with Colette and Chrissy. Our next guest is a very familiar face at most of the NPC and IFBB contests around the country. He's the official photographer for the NPC, as well as a mastermind behind the NPC News Magazine. Without further ado, let's introduce Mr. J.N. Mannion. Welcome to Muscle Girls, Inc., J.N.
Hi, ladies. How are you?
Good.
Wonderful. How about yourself?
I'm doing great.
Well, we wanted to start off by asking you, Jan, because I know you've been in photography for a while, but what made you first get interested in photography?
Well, actually, the truth was I took it as a blow-off class in high school.
You're like, I just want something easy to do.
Exactly.
Forget about basket weaving photography.
So, and I had no idea that I would actually like it as much as I did.
Mm-hmm.
So, I ended up taking 2 years of classes in high school, and then I always tell everybody, I said I probably did the only smart thing that I ever could have done as a teenager was my father said, hey, you know, I can give you a graduation party, or since you're so into photography, I can buy you a camera system. Well, 17 years old at that time, I really didn't have the money to buy a camera system, you know, a nice 35-millimeter camera system, and I figured, well, my relatives are going to give me gifts regardless. I can still party with my friends anytime I want. So I took up the offer to get the camera system. And from there, I just never looked back. And actually, I never took another photography class from high school.
Wow.
I just kind of learned on my own.
So what was the first show that you photographed in the NPC, and did you get hooked after that?
Well, believe it or not, the first show I did was I was going to shows, and I was taking pictures anyways just for myself. And going back, I'm not sure how many people remember that Rick Wayne used to be the editor-in-chief of Flicks magazine, and that was all the way back in 1983, 84, 85, and his son Kevin Carrasco was shooting all the, they used to have what was called the Muscellaneous, which is now I think Hard Times and whatever in the Flicks. It's the gossip column. Rick Wayne was the one that instituted that and started that whole thing. And I used to hang out with Kevin, and he said to me one day, he goes, look, you're at all the shows because of your dad. He goes, you got the same camera system as my son. He goes, I know you know how to shoot shows. He goes, how'd you like me to send you to London, England, to the World Games, and Kevin's going to be there, Chris Lund's going to shoot the show, and you shoot all the candids. I went, London? On someone else's tab? Sure.
Yeah.
So it was July of 85. I went to the... travel with my dad and the American team to the World Games over in London, and it was held right next to the Wembley Arena, the Wembley Stadium, where they've had all kinds of big rock concerts and stuff. And that was it. That was the beginning of it. And from there, I came back. He liked everything, and so he calls me like about 3 weeks later, and you know, offered me a job at Flicks Magazine, and I've been working for them ever since.
Wow, that's a great story.
Yeah, and that was before my father had even started the NPC News. So, and I've had my share of different columns throughout the years. Probably about the last 10, 12 years, I've been writing my father's NPC column and doing the pictures as well as the Talent Roundup. And actually, the Talent Roundup, we started back with Rick Wayne probably about 1987. So it's been going that long, and I've been doing that exclusively.
So then you must have been shooting back then in film, right? And then you'd switch over, and now you're shooting probably all digital, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. Everything was slide film negatives.
Isn't it so much better now with the digital?
Oh, and especially now, because if you screwed up something, you know, if you shot it the wrong way, I mean, you were done. I mean, now with digital, I mean, the great thing, of course, is the instant gratification of you can just look on the back of your camera and know whether you've done it right or wrong.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So do you remember the switchover? What years? I forgot when people started using digital photography.
Like, well, I I was actually told at the 2003 Arnold by the current or the person that was the art director at Weider Publications at that time, that if I did not switch over to digital after the Arnold Classic, then I would lose my columns in Flex.
Wow. You had no choice.
No, so I had no choice. I mean, they said it's not just you. We're telling everybody has to switch to digital. So it was kind of forced upon me. I mean, I would have eventually done it, but it just happened a little quicker than I was anticipating. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was like everybody else. I was still a holdout shooting with film, and I'd have three cameras. I'd have one film with one loaded with black and white film, one loaded with color negative film, one loaded with color slide film. So it actually simplified things because now you can do everything at once if you want on your digital camera.
Yeah.
Great. So, Dan, you only took two classes back in high school for photography. So
well, 2 years. 2 years in high school,
2 years. So you're self-taught. So do you find most information through books, through the internet? What is your biggest resource when you're looking for, you know, advice or tips or, you know, just more about photography and how to get the best angle and lighting and everything?
I feel that you never stop learning. That's my thing. And I'm always experimenting with different things. And throughout the years, I mean, I experimented and asked questions. I mean, coming up in the bodybuilding world, I mean, there is a certain way to shoot bodybuilders, which is different than shooting a normal, you know, if you want to do a family portrait or senior portrait, you know, how you light the body and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would do is I would just ask questions of all the top guys at that time who were shooting, and they were all nice enough to give me, you know, their tips and everything else. But there was one person in particular, I have to say, who helped me the most, and that's Barry Brooks.
Barry. You got to love Barry.
Oh, we know Barry.
Yes.
So Barry was kind enough at that time to send me a Hasselblad 2.25-inch camera. A 2.25-inch means was the slides and the negatives were 2.25 inches. That's how big they were, instead of like the little 35mm. And he actually sent me stuff, and basically for 2 weeks over the phone, he just kind of told me different things to do, and I would go out and use the camera and stuff, and you know, I'd go get it developed, I'd come back, I'd call him, and you know, he would tell me different things to do or how to change things. And then whenever we met up at a contest, I brought him the stuff, and you know, I'll tell you, I mean, what he taught me at that time was invaluable. Mm-hmm. I can't thank him enough for that. And, of course, he's been a great friend all these years as well. So,
Jam, did Barry shoot for Playboy? Was that true?
I think so, yeah.
I think he did, yeah. And that's some of the best photography around, you know. And
well, and of course, Barry told me how to make sure to shoot the female bodybuilders' glutes the right way, if
yes.
you were Barry.
That sounds like Barry.
Right, it does sound like Barry. Oh, gosh, he's funny.
Jam, you'll have to ask Barry. I don't know if you'll remember. I think it was 2004. Like, I was so new still to the MPC, and he had approached me at New York, and he's like, oh, he's like, do you want to shoot? So you'll have to ask him about that shoot we had.
I want to see those pictures, Chrissy.
Oh, gosh, you'll get some giggles. You'll get some giggles.
Well, JM, tell us about your portrait studio and the difference, you know, I mean, what that's like. And I think you work with your wife, right? So what's involved in that business?
Well, that's a whole other business than what I do with, you know, the MPC and the IFBB and Flex and the MPC News. And I actually opened a studio in 1993 locally just to try to pick up some business, you know, family portraits, senior portraits, you know, do modeling portfolios, different things. And I also wanted to have a studio for bodybuilders and, you know, fitness competitors or, you know, whatever to come in to be photographed there. Now, of course, I had the MPC Photo Gym, which we've had. Oh, geez. I mean, that's probably, we've had that about for 20 years. But you couldn't set it, there was really no room there to set up a background and really shoot anything. I mean, I had a mock, like, little area where I could do stuff, but I really outgrew that. And if I wanted to grow my business with my photography studio, as I say, normal photography, because the regular people, you couldn't have them trouncing into a gym setting, you know. And unfortunately, it would scare them off. But, so we opened that in 93, and we were in two different locations, and we rented all the way until July of last year. We had an opportunity to, there was another photographer in the town where we were, and we actually never conflicted with anything that he did and what I did. And he came over one day and he just said he was looking to retire, wanted to know if he wanted to buy his building and the business and all the equipment inside. And it was just something that we'd been wanting to do for years. We've been looking for almost 10 years for a building or property or something because, you know, paying rent, it's basically like flushing money down the toilet all these years.
Yeah.
So, you know, the fact that we could, you know, have our own building and also, you know, have a, and it was already, I mean, really didn't have to do a whole lot of work with it because the photography studio was there. I mean, this guy, I mean, he literally wanted to retire. He left us every piece of equipment, lighting, backgrounds, props, you name it, that he had acquired over the years. And he left us everything that he'd ever shot since 1978.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, as I tell people, he walked out with the contract for the building, his wife, mm-hmm. his camera, and a check. And he literally retired. So, and what's great is I'm in this town, it's called Bridgeville, Pennsylvania, a suburb of Pittsburgh, and his building is right on the main street. And it has great visibility, and it has these big windows in the front, so we can do a lot of displays and everything. So it's really helped, and it's also helped with a lot of the walk-up traffic. So, I mean,
that's
we
a great
do,
location
like
for
I
you.
Said, senior portraits, you know, high school seniors, you know, families, modeling portfolios. But we also do a lot of sports leagues, you know, shooting, you know, whether it be, you know, wrestling, soccer, football, you name it. We do all that kind of stuff, too.
Weddings and everything, too?
Well, we do shoot weddings, but I don't personally shoot them. I have shot them in the past, and I absolutely hated them.
Oh, I know. I can only imagine.
So we have a couple of photographers that's what they specialize in is wedding photography. So we send them out to do that.
Gotcha.
So, but I do have a separate website for that, which is under construction right now. But if anybody wanted to see that, it's real easy. It's jmproductions.net.
So www.jmproductions.net. Gotcha.
Yep.
Perfect.
And that's specifically for the portrait studio.
Right. Now, I do have my other jmmanion.com, which is all the photographs and things that I do in our, you know, bodybuilding and fitness world.
Great.
And that's how people can order the pictures, too, from the competitions.
Yes. Yeah, okay. Just like this last weekend's, New York Metropolitan Championships and New York Pro Fitness. Actually, those pictures are already posted, so if people want to go out and order them, they are already up online there.
So, Jam, you take pictures of every single competitor, so anybody that has competed at that, the Mets, can buy a photo if they'd like.
Exactly.
That's awesome. Okay.
Yeah, and since, you know, I am the official photographer there, I mean, I know if they, I mean, there's other websites that'll put the pictures up, but, you know, everybody has been very professional in the fact that if somebody contacts them about the pictures, they always forward all the emails or direct them towards us, you know, to purchase the pictures.
Well, Jan, I wanted to ask, I know that, you know, at home you have two extremely gifted athletes as children, and, you know, Tyler just placed an amazing second at Nationals, and you said that was an amazing meet where it went to, you know, overtime. So I was wondering, as a child, if you played sports?
Yeah, I actually played baseball, football, and wrestled, but in regard to wrestling, I never achieved the success that he has had.
Okay.
And actually, the competition was actually the World Championships. They have it kind of backwards. The Nationals he's doing the weekend of April 25th in Columbus, ironically at the Convention Center where the Arnold Classic is.
Amazing! Killed
yeah,
two birds with a
stone. It's held there every year. My dad and I have a fun time because it's set up a whole different way. You have about 32 wrestling mats. You have bleachers on the side going up and. But it's fun. We kind of walk around and try to remember, hey, I think this is where the Metrics booth was. Oh, yeah, this is where our booth was. And you try to look at it because it's set up so differently. We just kind of get a kick out of doing that every year.
Well, now, how do you – we always ask everybody this, but how do you balance – it's like we're all trying to learn that. How do you balance your life? But how do you balance the NPC, IFBB shows, running your own business, dealing with attending all the children's activities, meets and practices? I mean, how do you do it?
it's not really me as much as it is my wife, Debbie.
I know. Get her on the line. How did I know? It's so hard.
Yeah. I mean, with our daughter, Cassie, I mean, she plays soccer year-round, indoor, outdoor. She's on three different teams. She's on a local township team. She's on a cup team, which is kind of like, it's a tryout. It's kind of like, they're kind of like all-star teams, basically. If anybody's familiar with, like, AAU baseball teams or AAU basketball teams, that's what a cup team is in soccer. And she's also in the Olympic Development Program for girls soccer. So she's got practices for all three of those. She's got games for all of them. And, of course, she's going in one direction, and then Tyler goes in another direction for wrestling. And then in the fall, he'll pick up soccer again for his high school team because he plays soccer as well. So it's like, it's kind of like, we have to just coordinate our schedules as best as we can and see who's going to go which direction. I mean, it's difficult. I mean, people like don't understand, I mean, how hard it is. I mean, like last night Cassie had a soccer practice for her ODP practice, and it's like it's an hour and a half north from here. So Debbie had to coordinate with somebody to do carpooling with other girls to get her there, then to pick her up, and I had to take Tyler to wrestling practice, then I had to bring him back, and it could be crazy sometimes. You kind of lose track of where you are. And then when I'm out of town, she has to do all of it on her own. You know, but we've also been fortunate that you know, my father and stepmother live close enough that they can help us on a lot of this as well.
And Jam, you travel, you go to all the shows, I think, right? I can't remember.
A lot of them.
I started cutting back last year. And when I say cutting back, I mean, if I tell you that I did, you know, 22 shows, that for me that's cutting back, because I used to do like 35 to 38 shows a year.
Wow.
It's a lot of weekends. I mean, there's only 50, how many weeks in 56?
52.
It's about my as good as my geography, you guys.
Yeah.
52. You know, and you're traveling. I mean, 32. That's a lot of
three quarters of the weekends of the year.
Yeah. Well, I just kind of thought. Well, I've been wanting to cut back a little bit, and the other thing I was thinking of is a couple of years ago I started thinking. Well, I mean, this year Tyler is a freshman. Cassie's in junior high in seventh grade. But, you know, I started thinking a couple of years ago, well, you know, a few more years, they're going to be gone to college and that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to be out of the house. I mean, so really, I mean, in, you know, 3.5 years, Tyler's gone. 5.5 years, Cassie's gone. So that's not a lot of time when you think about it.
And time just
So I wanted to try to spend as much time to do things with them that I could, you know, before they were out of the house and they were gone. And I don't want to be one of those guys that's looking back 10 years from now going, geez, I should have spent more time with my kids, you know? So in a way I look at it, like we have a laugh now with Trey Bennett with the Junior USA. You know, I started sending other people there, and Isaac Hines has been covering it the last few years, and, you know, because that just it just conflicts with, you know, the kids' sporting activities. And I say, hey, the Junior USA was around for 20-some years before I started doing this. It's going to be around another however long, 20-some years afterwards. I said, so for me to miss those few years, it isn't going to mean anything. You know, it'll mean more for me to be here to, you know, try to do stuff with the kids and the family.
And I think that's so important to mention, because I know growing up when I was playing sports, you know, my dad used to take me and go practice basketball or, you know, softball, and then having them at my games and stuff, just seeing them in the stands watching me just meant so much. So I know it has to mean so much to them, just seeing you and having you there and Debbie there. So I think that's wonderful.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so, listen,
I mean,
Jan,
it's challenging, but, it can be done.
Be balanced, yeah.
That's why I work till 2, 3 in the morning, though.
Like we all do, I swear.
Yeah.
Dave goes, like, till 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
Dave is night owl.
Oh, no, it's kind of annoying, but anyway.
Well, Jam, on a fun note, we have one of your dark divas on the radio show also today, Jen Gates, but I wanted to ask you about your comic book series, Iron Sirens, and I wanted to know, how did you first come up with the idea for it?
Well, anybody that knows me knows that I love comics, okay, as you've seen the different, you know, shirts that I've worn over the years, mm-hmm. and things like that, and, of course, you know, I'm a big DC Comics fan, more than Marvel, but I like that as well. And, of course, Batman being my favorite. But, you know, being in this industry, I mean, you look at these bodybuilders, the men, and they look like that's what they base these comic book characters on, the way they're, you know, the way they're built and everything. And the fact that, you know, that we manage all of these different, you know, professional fitness and figure women, you know, I thought to myself, well, these girls are built like Wonder Woman or, you know, Batgirl or whomever you want to say. And, you know, wouldn't it be cool to, you know, do a comic book, you know, based on the real characters instead mm-hmm. of just, you know, doing a, you know, generalized thing? Wouldn't it be cool to say, hey, like the original idea was for Iron Sirens was to have it be Susie Curry, Adela Garcia, and actually Jenny Wirth, because at that time, back in 2002, 2003, they were like the top girls in the world and with fitness and the fitness routines, and there really was no figure at that time. You know, we had just started NPC figure, but there was no IFBB figure. I thought, well, you know, these girls are athletic and they all have athletic backgrounds. Wouldn't it be cool if, like, you gave them each, you know, they had some type of a power, and then you put them into, like, a comic book sci-fi setting to do it. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Jenny Wirth ended up bowing out and kind of retiring. So the first book was almost already drawn and written. And so to kind of make things a little easier, and since everyone, the dialogue kept saying Jenny, 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 so I contacted Jenny Lynn, talked to her, considering that she was doing fitness at the time, and she actually came from an athletic background too, so that's how we, you know, switched out into you know, Jenny Lynn doing it. And, you know, what had happened was at the Arnold, I had met a writer named Ian Asher, who lives in Columbus, and he writes for comic books and stuff, and you know, he was saying to me, hey, you know, wouldn't it be cool if you could do, you know, a comic book like this? And I said, well, I have this idea, and this is my idea, but let's use the real girls. And the girls, I mean, we're not going to give them the fake names. I mean, the girls will be, you know, Adela Garcia with a power, you know, Jenny Lynn mm-hmm. with a power, Susie Curry with a power. I said, then we can use some of the other girls as the villains. And that's basically how it started. So we actually had the first book come out in 2004. It was all black and white inside with a color cover because I financed it all myself, and unfortunately the artist that we had used kind of flaked out.
Oh, no.
And so we were never able to get an issue two going, and so Ian and I just, you know, we kind of kicked this around for, you know, another couple of years looking for somebody, trying to get somebody that could be committed to doing it. And you know, we finally found another artist. But ironically, by the time we got this thing started, there's a little TV show called Heroes came out.
Right.
Okay, and Heroes is about normal people that have a certain power and things like that. And I'm going, oh, great. Everyone now is going to think that I copied the idea from this TV show, even though I came up with this idea like 3 years before the show even started. You know, but we've been able to, you know, we're on issue number 4 now, thank goodness. You know, our goal is to have 4 issues a year. And, you know, the issue 4 actually concludes the first storyline. So if you haven't gotten issue 4 yet, you know, you have to get it started from issue 1, and it'll wrap up the whole storyline, and then it starts into a new one.
Can you purchase that from your website?
You can actually go to the easiest way to do it is to go to the Iron Sirens MySpace page, which is, you know, www.myspace.com/ironsirens, IronSirens. And then on there, in the blog section, it'll take you to a link as to where you can purchase them.
Okay, perfect.
And then we're also going to try to do a couple more comic book conventions like we did last year. We did 2 of them, one here in Pittsburgh, one in Columbus, and which turned out great because we have the girls there dressed in character.
How fun. And then you sell the comic book there, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And actually, as you mentioned about Jen Gage, she's one of our, we call the villains Dark Divas. She's actually going to be at the Junior Nationals working at the NPC booth selling the comic book there.
Is she going to be in costume? Because I certainly hope so. Because those are great pictures that you sent us to... Just...
Yeah. Well, that's the idea, to have her there, you know, in costume to draw people over. And actually, at my father's show, the MPC Pittsburgh Championships, which is on May 2nd, Crystal Richardson is going to be there working at the Tight Curves booth, since she is the Iron Siren that's on the cover of issue number 4. She's going to be there selling the comic book also. So, but you can find out where the girls are going to be appearing via the MySpace page.
Right. Well, Jan, what are your feelings that, you know, women make up about 70% of the competitors, and the fact that it's still, even in the magazines and the press coverage, it's still focused on the men, you know, men's bodybuilding. I mean, you obviously are forced because you have a modeling agency and you help to get the women out there, but, I mean, what do you think about all that?
Well, I'm constantly fighting the battle.
I know.
I mean, honestly, yes, we know that the men's sport does bring in, I should say the men's pro side, I think, you know, brings in the majority of the people. On the national level, the men do also, you know, for the MPC Nationals, the MPC USA, MPC North American. But, I mean, with so many women's divisions, you know, you'd think that they could get a little more, a little more public, you know, publicity and things like that. And I do have to say, I mean, outside of what I do for MPC News, which, you know, I can put in more stuff about the women, but I have to give credit to, you know, the guys over at Flex, you know, especially Alan Donnelly with this, with the new thing with the training with the girls and how they're doing the photography and different things like that. So, I mean, they're at least starting to do that. And I like how they've, the new regime over at Flex has instituted for their swimsuits and lingerie issue that they're only using real competitors now instead of the fitness models, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's a fight that's a never-ending battle, to be honest with you. And, you know, I always laugh at the fact that, especially when you're talking to somebody about having a, you know, and doing an endorsement contract with somebody, or and they go, you know, well, you know, these girls don't work as hard as the men. And I'm like, excuse me?
God, that's just
I said, let me talk to you about a fitness competitor, what they do in a day. I said, most of these women have some type of a real job, which most of the men don't. We all know that.
Yeah,
so they have a real job. They train. They diet. And then you have somebody like a fitness competitor that's got to, you know, choreograph and work on a fitness routine as well. I said, believe me. And I said, and these women don't get out of shape. I said, most of these women probably get about maybe anywhere from 5 to 10 pounds out of contest shape. I said, you can call them and say in 2 weeks or a week and a half, 10 days, can you be ready for a photo shoot? They'll be ready. I said, I dare you to find one guy where you could tell him, okay, I need you in photo shoot shape in 2 weeks. These guys would have a fit, you know?
You know, Jam, I really miss, like, covers with men and women. Whatever happened to that? Like, that, I never see, like... I mean, I'd like to see it, you know, a woman competitor, fitness figure, bodybuilding with a guy. And that's like, was like 10 years ago, I feel like. That never happens anymore.
Yeah, I know. Especially, I mean, you don't get that anymore pretty much anywhere. With any man. I mean, like I said, again, I guess because we're not on the newsstand, so we have a little more flexibility and leeway, that we're the only ones that will be that still feature, you know, not only, you know, like, figure and fitness competitors, but a woman bodybuilder on the cover with a guy also.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, we feel that everybody should get their fair share, and, you know, but I also think that, unfortunately, a lot of this is dictated by, you know, magazine sales and the what goes on the rack, what sells, and everything else. You know, I don't know. I've never seen any of the data on that, which I would like to, but, I mean, I think if you had a fit, you know, whether it be bodybuilder or fitness or figure competitor on the cover with a guy, I think you open up your market to even more people.
And I'd like to see Jen Gates with, you know, Dexter Jackson. I mean, what would be wrong with that?
Well, I have to give Iron Man credit. They have Jen Gates and Mo Al-Masawi on the cover.
Wow, there you go.
That's right. That's right. I did see that.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully, you know, more magazines will follow suit, like Flex, you know, how they're giving more women's coverage in the training segment, and like Iron Man did, having Jen on the cover. So hopefully, you know, other magazines will start following
that. Yeah, and inside, what's nice is they have a section, you know, a article on Mo, and they also have a nice photo spread with a little article on Jen as well.
What issue is that? Is that this month, this past month?
It's the one, it just came out. I'm not sure the month of it, but... you know, it is out there. So I mean, it's a real nice cover of both of them, and they both look great. So. You know, I mean, I'd like to see more of that as well.
Definitely.
So.
Well, JM, you know, RX Muscles got started, and we started, you know, Muscle Girl Inc. Radio Show, and that's, I think, one of the main reasons why we started is we wanted to give more coverage and support to a lot of the female athletes out there, whether, you know, their fitness, figure, or bodybuilding, and now also bikini. So, because I think, you know, there's a huge fan base out there, and you know that there's a lot of, you know, fans, whether they're fitness fans, figure fans, or bodybuilding fans. But in your opinion, that this has been, like, a big question that a lot of people have been asking lately, how do you think we can get promoters to carry more women's pro bodybuilding shows because there's such a limited number on the calendar?
And fitness, too.
Yeah. I wish I had the answer. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, these promoters, you know, has their own preference. And I know with women's bodybuilding, a lot of the times the sponsorships that they give, the people that give the sponsorship money, you know, sometimes they dictate the terms as to what they want this to be used for. And, you know, I also think that, and I used this example in another interview that I did, and I'm sure, Colette, you'll remember this, especially with Dave's involvement, but you know, the last year with Steve Weinberger's, you know, New York Pro, I mean, he sent out 40. He had 40 women that said they wanted to compete, and pro women wanted to compete in that show. Sent out 40 contracts and got 11 of them back. You know, I mean, in my opinion, I feel that the, you know, the women bodybuilders need to, you know, they need to stick together. They need to, you know, show that they, you know, they want to compete and everything else. But, you know, when you have people saying, oh, yeah, I'm going to do this, and then they just don't do it. I mean, it doesn't help. And that's the same with anything, whether it's women's bodybuilding or, you know, women's fitness or whatever. I mean, look at this, this past weekend, the New York Pro Fitness. There was, 14, 15 competitors. I mean, if you go back a couple years, that show had, you know, 25, you know, pro fitness competitors in it. You know, what is everybody doing? What are they waiting for? You know, I mean, what are they doing? What is the sense of getting, you know, qualified for the IFBB Professional League and then not competing? I mean, are you doing it just to, you know, promote yourself or your personal training business? But, you know, take advantage of it. I mean, there's contests there. There's promoters that are willing to do this. But if you're not helping them, I mean, I don't blame these promoters for not giving anything back either. I mean, they're trying, but they're not getting any help on the other end with the competitors.
Jam, what do you think about...
That's my opinion, and let me say that is my opinion only. Right. A lot of people will think that it's my dad's opinion, and that's not. So I just want to make that clear.
Jam, what do you think about the sanction fee? Like, say you're a promoter and you're holding a men's bodybuilding show. I mean, couldn't you, I don't know, is there a way that there's a negotiation with them? Because they don't want to pay another, I get it, you know, it's like financially, they have to pay a sanction fee for the men and then another sanction fee for the women. They're like, oh God, you know, it doesn't seem, it doesn't really seem worth it. And I can see it as a promoter. I'd be like, God, you know, are they going to really, you know, I don't know. I mean, I even hate to say how many more seats is it going to bring, you know, I don't know. I mean, so that just seems like something that... I think they did away with it a couple years ago, didn't they? So that they would try and increase the number of shows that would have female bodybuilding?
I think they did. I can't be certain on that. I think that was only a couple of times they tried that. But I think even at that point, it still didn't help because you didn't have the competitor showing up.
Right.
I mean, and that's what's baffling is, you know, on the NPC level, you know, Colette, as you know, at this year's NPC Nationals, there was more
women
than ever.
Yep.
I mean, there was, 75 competitors in the show?
That was the women bodybuilding was great.
Yeah, exactly. So what happens to them once they turn pro? You know,
that's
such
a good question because I always thought that.
Let's go back to last time.
And
the last time
that
the NPC Nationals was in Atlanta, Mimi Jabali won NPC Nationals. Okay? I'll be honest with you. Has she ever competed as a pro?
I know.
Right?
I mean, I don't know if the women feel like they look at some of the competitors. They think, oh God, I want. I mean, I like to compete just because I mean, I know who I am as a competitor. I just love to be up there. But I mean, if some people have these dreams of grandeur, like I got to compete and I have to be Miss Olympia. I mean, we've lost mm-hmm. We've lost the momentum to, you know, competing. It's like a kind of a double-edged sword here.
Right. I mean, and I know you like to compete because you like to perform.
Yeah, you know that. It's like,
yeah,
totally.
I mean, you go up there and you have a blast with your posing routine.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and you get a great response from the audience, and you know, people love it. And, you know, I mean, like you said, I don't know. I mean, why are these women competing? Why are they turning pro and they just drop off the radar?
What about prize money? I know that this year they increased the prize money at the Olympia, and I think, I don't know this because I remember hearing Dave talking about they didn't increase the bodybuilding. They did for figure, fitness, and men. And men's is...
Well, the figure of fitness, they brought it up to where the women's bodybuilding was.
Oh, okay.
That's what it was.
But they didn't give any... So they just made it all so that everyone's pretty much equal.
More equal.
Right, and actually the figure was getting less than fitness, so...
Gotcha.
It was less prize money than even fitness was, so.
So now
made
all
everybody...
three straight across the board equal then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know.
It's a tough question to answer because, you know, you'll talk to the women and you know, we say we want to compete. We don't care about the money. That's what a lot of people will say. We just want to compete. That's the whole thing that happened down with Tampa. We're like, we just want a place to compete. And then you'll hear, well, there's not enough prize money. But then you'll hear on the other end that people just want to compete. It's very, you know, it's this crazy talk back that you can't figure out. You know, they're saying one thing, doing another, and I don't know if we'll ever have the answer. Hopefully, I guess if we just keep having shows and the women will just keep coming out and bringing the love back to it.
Yeah, I mean, and like I said, I mean, come on, ladies. I mean, you turn pro, and I mean, I know it's a dream for most people. I mean, mm-hmm. you have guys that turn pro that, you know, I mean, here, let's use this new men's 202 class, okay, in the pros. You know, what was happening was that the, you know, the guys that were turning pros that were, you know, middleweights, welterweights, you know, lightweights, things like that, even some light heavyweights, you know, felt they couldn't compete with the bigger guys, but guess what? They put a collective voice together and were able to go to the IFBB Professional League and say, hey, can't you do something for us? Don't see that unity happening with the women.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, that's how this men's 202 got started. I mean, the guys said, we'd like to compete. We got our pro cards. We want to do something, and we want to compete, but we want to be competitive with each other. We can't be competitive with Jay. We can't be competitive with Ronnie or Dexter or Phil Heath, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I personally think that, you know, the women bodybuilders need to get together, and they need to, you know, formulate some type of plan together and then, you know, take it to Betty Pariso to, you know, come to the... you know, the annual, you know, IFBB meeting and let her have something to talk about.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, Jam, that's good advice. And now on to the new hot topic, bikini.
Yeah.
All right. What are your thoughts and will it gain legitimacy as a real physique division? I mean, Jam, there's just back and forth stuff. I think it's great. I think it gives the women that aren't as muscular, you know, a place to shine. But again, you know, it's a catty world in the world of women and everything. So what are your feelings of it?
It's getting the same knock that fitness got from women's bodybuilding and then what figure got from fitness and women's bodybuilding.
Right, right. So, it's true. Yeah.
You know, someone else's turn.
I think that, I mean, the fact that you give a chance for, there's some place for everybody.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this isn't, you know, a Hooters wet t-shirt contest. You know, I mean, I actually did not attend the bikini show at the Arnold Classic because I was busy shooting candids and things of the professionals. But I mean, but I had seen a picture of the girl that won, and you know, I like the description that was given at the MPC Board of Governors meeting last year. Well, what would constitute a good bikini competitor compared to a fitness competitor? The answer they gave was, well, if you have a figure competitor that cannot place in the top 10 of a national figure show, she'd be good mm-hmm. for bikini. You know, it's probably some girl that, you know, can't get as toned and, you know, probably have as good at abs and everything else is another girl. I mean, everybody's metabolism is different.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And, you know, I mean, there are women that train at the gym, I mean, and they bust their butts, but they're never gonna look like, you know, Jen Gates or, you know, on the fitness side or Nadella Garcia or somebody. And, you know, they can take it as far as they can take it. And I think that, you know, it's going to give them a good opportunity.
It is true. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, people like to knock it. Oh, they're just girls that just get off the street. I don't think that's true because me and Chrissy interviewed Ali Sonoma. I mean, that girl kicks ass, right, Chrissy? Her workouts?
Yes,
I mean,
and she is in shape and she does yoga and she's very well-rounded. She diets. She's working with Kimoto. So, you know, I think people realize that they do diet. They do train hard.
I mean, it's funny because the bikini competitors are now getting the same knock that the figure competitors were getting.
Yep.
Oh, these girls don't train. They're not doing anything. They're just getting up there. Mm-hmm. They're bimbos.
Right.
You know? You know, but, I mean, from what I saw at the you know, the New York Mets, I mean, the girl that won, hey, I thought she had good, you know, she had good shape. She had good tone. I mean, you know, she looked really good. I mean, you know, as far as, you know, what a bikini competitor should be. I mean, this was my first time seeing a bikini show. I mean, I'll probably see more at my father's show, but I really think that a lot of these girls are waiting to see what happens at the Junior USA and Junior Nationals. And my gut feeling is by the time we hit the USA in Vegas, the USA bikini division is going to just explode like
right.
the USA
mm-hmm.
figure did.
Now, do you think people are talking like, now with the bikini division, like more on a positive note, will this allow the figure competitors to be a little more muscular, do you think?
Nope. There's no change. There's no change in the judging. And I've had that. People say, well, they said, and I go, who's they? I said, I know who, quote unquote, they are.
Right, I know.
They never said that there was going to be a change in the figure judging. I mean, the fitness and figure judging and the women's bodybuilding, everything's going to stay the way it was. You know, there is no change in, you know, how they've, you know, they've taken the last couple of years to, you know, get the judging where it is. And I know a lot of people will say, well, I was at such and such a show, and this girl was so hard. But then again, they have to realize, hey, the judges can only judge what's in front of them on that day. So if you're at a local or regional show, and you don't have a girl that looks like, you know, one of the top, you know, figure competitors, hey, mm-hmm. that's all they have in front of them. They have no choice. What are they going to do? You know,
yeah, and I think that's a great point, is that everyone's always like, well, at this show, they tell me it's too hard, and I go in softer at this show, but they don't realize that, like you said, the judges can only judge what's in front of them on stage that day.
Right. Now, and, if you go and you look across the board at the mm-hmm. at the pro qualifying shows, you look at the Junior USA figure, look at Junior Nationals figure, USA figure, you know, Team Universe, you know, Nationals, the North American figure. Those competitors are all pretty much, you know, from show to show, they look the same. I mean, and they're not, I mean, and the judging is pretty consistent with the look that they give.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, a lot of people are looking at their state shows and things like that, but it's, you know, when you get on the national level, I mean, to me, I see more of a consistency in the looks of the competitors that place in the top five, top ten, than you would get at a local or regional show. And that's across the board.
Definitely.
You know, same with the fitness also. So, but I mean, I do think that you know, bikini will gain just like everything else, and
mm-hmm.
you know, I think it's a good idea. I think it's a great idea. And you know, it might bring different people in to see a, you know, NPC show and eventually an IFBB show that may have never come before. And you may get them hooked on something else that they like to see.
Mm-hmm.
That's my opinion.
Well, Jam, of all the years of attending shows, what's the most memorable contest that you've ever attended, and why would that be?
Wow. I have a few of them. I have a few of them in mind. I think one of them might have been, if you'll let me give a couple, I'll go back to the 1979 Mr. Olympia. Okay. And I'm standing backstage, and at that time NBC Sports was covering the Mr. Olympia. And that was Frank Zane's third time he had won the Mr. Olympia. And Arnold was the color commentator of the show. Okay, even though he was co-promoting it with Jim Lorimer back then. It was in Columbus. And I'm standing backstage, and for those that probably do not remember, Arnold and Frank Zane used to be training partners back in the old days. And Frank Zane comes off after winning his third consecutive Mr. Olympia, and Arnold goes, you know, Frank, you know, congratulations, great job. You know, you won your third Olympia. How did it feel to win your third Olympia? I mean, what is your feeling right now? And Frank Zane pauses, looks at him, and goes, you know, Arnold, feels almost as good as the time that I beat you. And everybody was like, because back when Arnold first started, Frank Zane beat him in the Mr. Universe. And this was like 1967 or 68 or something, when Arnold was still, Arnold wasn't the Arnold that we know, right? And it was just like, the look on Arnold's face, and I mean, they pretty much just cut it right there, and Arnold walked away, and Frank Zane had this real smug look on his face. Well, that is what prompted Arnold to make his comeback. One of the reasons he made his comeback in 1980 at the 1980 Mr. Olympia was that comment. So, and then I would probably say 2 years ago, the Mr. Olympia, when Jay Cutler finally won it, and won his Mr. Olympia for the first time.
That was a crazy year.
Yeah, and everybody stood on their feet, gave him a standing ovation. Nobody would sit down, and you know, they could barely. You know, when Bob Ciccarello was trying to let Jay talk on the microphone, people were still clapping and cheering. I mean, you could barely hear Jay. I mean, that was a pretty exciting time, too.
Was that 2007 that Jay won? It was 2007.
No, it had to be 2006 because he won it twice, and then Dexter just won it last year.
You're slipping, Chrissy.
I'm losing track of dates.
Chrissy, I can understand why it's hard for you to remember because of all those after parties at the Olympia that you attend.
But do you remember who kept you out into the wee hours of the morning, even though you had to shoot the next day? Do you remember?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, you and hubby.
Way to go, Chrissy.
You need to steer away from
them. I had 2 hours sleep, okay?
They're dangerous, and they're coming out to stay with us this weekend.
All I can remember is we're walking the strip at 4:30 in the morning, and I'm going to myself, what am I doing here? Why am I doing this? Okay.
Just saying
no. Like, no, come on. We still got another place to go. We still got fun to do.
Oh, my gosh, Chrissy.
It was the funniest. You know, I woke up the next day, JM. I was like, I look around. I was like, whoa. I was like, that was a rough night. I couldn't even find my shoes because I remember we walked so far that I had taken them off when we got to the last place. So I lost, like, my new hot Brazilian shoe that, like, one of a kind. I was so upset. I was like, oh, but I guess it was worth it.
Yeah, it was.
Well, JM, thank you so much for today. We were both very much looking forward to it. And
yeah, we appreciate it.
And you're awesome. And hopefully we give people a different perspective than your typical interviews. And I wanted you to plug all the websites. Let's kind of go from your website, the photography studio, and the way to purchase the Iron Sirens comic book.
All right, well, let's plug the www.jmmanion.com. That is where people, like I said, can find all their contest photos and purchase them online. The Iron Sirens, the best place to find it is on MySpace, you know, www.myspace.com/IronSirens, IronSirens.
And your photography?
And, of course, you can go to NBCNewsOnline.com, and you can get links off of there as well.
Okay, and your portrait studio website?
That is www.jmproductions.net.
Excellent.
Perfect. Well, thank you again, Jan.
And we will we'll see you soon. We will see you at the Junior Nationals?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Perfect. We'll see you there.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, take care, Jan. Thanks.
Muscle Girls, Inc.
ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent, legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today.
Species Evolutionary Nutrition, the Species line of products champion original thinking and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit SpeciesNutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. SpeciesNutrition.com.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Hi, this is photographer J.M. Mannion, and you're listening to Muscle Girls, Inc. with Colette and Chrissy.
Our next guest turned pro by winning the 2007 NPC Junior Nationals Figure Overall title, and she went on to win the 2007 Motor City Pro Figure. She placed fourth in the first ever Figure Olympia, and then in 2008, she won the Figure Olympia title and the Atlantic City Pro Figure title, as well as placing second at the Figure International. Wow. She is the beautiful figure star, Jen Gates. Welcome to Muscle Girls, Inc., Jen. How you doing?
Well, thanks, Colette.
You know, Jen, let's kick it off with your website. I want to help you promote that over here. You know, I saw on your website that your first competition was back in 2001, and that was actually not a figure competition, but a bodybuilding competition that you won.
That's right. I did start out in bodybuilding. Actually, my dad's been a competitive bodybuilder pretty much my whole life, so I had the bug, and I had the goal by the time I was age 25, I wanted to do my first show. So,
and you weren't, like, hooked after that? Because sometimes when you do your first show, you're like, oh, I got to do the next one and the next one. You kind of took
it. You know, I loved it, but I knew, like, I was as big as I wanted to be. I didn't. And I knew to go, like, the next step would have been, I guess, to go nationally with it. And I knew I just wouldn't be competitive at all.
Right.
And then, Jen, back in 2004, that's when you decided to make that switch to figure. So was the main reason because you didn't want to get overly muscular with your physique?
Yeah, I had some time off. I had my daughter in 2002, so I had some time off. And I was at a local bodybuilding show, and it was in 2003, like when figure was first introduced into the NPC. And I just looked at those girls, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I can do this. I can totally do this. So, yeah, it was just, you know, like a bodybuilder, just a little bit different, and I knew I wouldn't have to get, you know, put on that much more muscle, so.
So, Jen, was that when, I mean, you know, Dave is dying for me to tell this story, like, you know, is that, was it 2004 then? Was it at the North American when, you know, it was Dave and at the time his photographer friend John that spotted you and were like, oh, we've got to take a picture of this girl, and was that year, you think, or?
Yeah, I think it was. I think it was 2004, because I did the local shows, and I won those. And then I went to Cleveland and did that show, and my dad did that show, too. So it was really cool. And then, yeah, Dave asked me to shoot.
Yeah, Dave thinks he discovered you, Jen.
That was my...
He can't let it go.
That was my first photo shoot ever. You know what? I did get approached by a few... Like, Terry Goodlatte approached me at that show as well. So, but, yeah, I was very new and fresh, and, yeah, who would have known? Who would have ever thought?
That's funny. The coincidences in life.
Yeah.
Jen, at home you have two kids, and I know that everyone's always asking, how do you balance, you know, between work and traveling and competing, and I don't even have kids yet, so I was wondering how you manage with your two children at home, juggling contest prep, and then, you know, the responsibilities of just being a single mom.
It is very, very challenging for me, especially after the last four or five months. It's because now, yes, I am a single mother. Before I was married, and, you know, that kind of took a little bit of the load off. But, yeah, it's full-time. Kids are full-time. My son's 12. My daughter's 6. My son's going through all the, you know, preteen stuff. He's almost 13. We play baseball, basketball, football. We travel for all of that. My daughter started in competitive cheerleading. That takes us everywhere. I just do it. You know, I never really have a certain way of how I just do it. Like, I know what I need to do for my shows, mm-hmm. and I just do it. and I don't know how I do it sometimes, especially when I used to work. I'm a nurse, and I did quit my position about a year and a half ago, so that's taken a big load off, too, because I was working 12-hour night shift.
Wow. Do you miss nursing?
I do. A part of me does miss it, but part of me, no, because I spend more time with my kids, and, you know, I'm devoted to them and getting them, you know, so that they can enjoy their lives. I get them and let them do their things and their activities. And, you know, it's hard to have a job and get 2 hours of cardio in a day, plus, you know, train with weights, you know, 4 or 5 times a week. That's a little tough.
So, Jen, do you have a contract then? So now what are you doing for work or for income other than figure competitions and et cetera, et cetera?
I do. I have a contract with ProFight. I've been with them since October, right after the Olympia. They're very good to me. And, you know, I travel for them and do appearances. I was at the Ironman for them in January. I have a few clients that I'm loyal to that I keep. So I make a little bit from that. And then sometimes I do contest prep and stuff, and I just kind of am trying to get more into that. So I have a few local girls that I help, and I'll do, like, posing classes and seminars, and I do a variety.
I know, that's like me. I can't seem to nail down just one thing. I like to do everything. It's kind of nice, though, you know?
It is.
So, you know, you did 9 national shows before you turned pro. I mean, you know, it's tedious, and it gets very, drains you. And then how did you stay motivated? How did you just say, you know what, I wanted to keep going.
I just, you know what, actually, when I turned pro, Junior Nationals in 07, that was going to be my last figure show. I was going to hang it up because I'm like, you know what, I've done everything that they've told me to do, the judges, you know. I've changed. I dropped, 10 pounds of muscle from 06 to 08, or wait, let's see, even further back. Yeah, from 06 to 07, I dropped about 10 pounds of muscle, and it was getting very hard to keep going on with it, you know. I just kept changing, and I kept, you know, thinking I wanted to be my personal best, and then, you know, at the end of the day, I could walk away and be happy with it, and that's what I was going to do after Junior Nationals. It was the best I thought I'd ever looked. I tried everything, and changed my training, and that was going to be it for me. So after that, though, I decided to go ahead and keep on with it.
I know, it's something about winning that does that. You're like, well, shit, now what do I do, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Jen, at Junior Nationals, I remember I did that show with you that year, and I remember seeing you on stage, and you looked awesome. But if you had to think back, and do you think that was the most memorable moment of your figure career, or would you have another show that you think, oh, that was my best, that is the most memorable show that I've ever done?
That, well, it's up there. It's pretty high up there, probably one of my top two. I would say that the Olympia in 08 last year, winning that was probably the most memorable, and I think I looked even better there than what I did at Junior Nationals. It takes a while. You know, they're wanting us to, you know, trim down, you know, not so much muscle, and it takes a while to streamline down like that, and I think I finally got it in 08. So Junior Nationals in 07 and then Figure Olympia 08, I think those two shows were my all-time best.
You know, real quick, thinking about, like, you know, we've talked a lot about this, about bringing your favorite body to the stage or bringing what the judge is like. Now, did you find that line? Like, do you like your body more muscular? Do you like it the way it is, a little less? I mean, what did you come to terms with in your mind of that vision that's your body?
I used to always try to do what the judges wanted. But then, I liked myself with more muscle. But once I started streamlining down, changing my training, I started liking the way
that's
I look.
Good.
And my clothes fit better, you know, like, and I still appear on stage just as muscular as I did in 06. So it's just an illusion. And I'm happier with it now, the way it is.
Good, good. Well, you were given an invite to last year's Figure International, which is a huge honor. But you didn't compete.
This year,
yeah, it was this year. Gosh, oh my gosh, I'm losing it.
Yeah.
This year's Figure International, but you didn't compete. So do you want to talk about any of the reasons why you didn't compete? Because I know you had a lot of tragedy last year, and, you know, there were rumors circulating around the internet of this and that and the other thing. I mean, do you want to clear some of those up? Do you want to just kind of talk about this and get it out there?
We can. We can clear the air, and just so everybody knows that I'm doing good. Yes, my husband passed away in December of 08, and we actually had been going through a divorce for a while. So it, I won't get into details with it because it's very tragic and very unfortunate, especially for my kids. But yeah, my priorities just totally changed, and that was a very, very hard time in my life. You know, there was about a month where I didn't eat, I didn't sleep, I was, you know, under my contest weight.
Yeah.
I was sick. So I had to take care of me, and I had to take care of my two kids, and that is, you know, my number one priority is myself and my kids. So, you know, competing, I love it, but it just was not my priority.
So what did you do? You put in for your invite, what, back in October? And then this happens in December.
Right.
And then I think it was like December 24th or 25th, they tell you have an invite to the Figure International. You must have just been like, oh, there's no way.
Yeah, you know, I really honestly, I didn't even think about it for a while. And then, you know, Mike Davies starts calling.
Oh, boy.
JM's calling. You know, they want to, you know, but, you know, ultimately they were most concerned about how I
absolutely.
Was doing. You know, making sure I was healthy. And it just got to the point to where me and Mike just had a talk, and, you know, he wanted to know what was in my heart. And I'm like, honestly, I know I could get ready for this show, but, you know, I've got to take care of myself. I've got to take care of my kids. Like, mm-hmm. It would just cause so much more added stress that I just didn't need. So we all three of us decided that it was just best that I not do it. So,
I mean, how did
and
you?
And I saw you at the Ironman, and you said that you had recently moved. So I was wondering how everything is with your move, and are you getting settled in your new home?
I am. It was tough. I moved very quickly. As soon as everything happened, and at mm-hmm. the beginning of December, me and my kids were out of there. We moved very fast. Both of my kids go to different schools now. It was a kind of a hard transition, but we are doing awesome. My son, he has 5 A's and 2 B+'s. My daughter's
God.
Doing very good in kindergarten. They're adjusting extremely well. They're troopers. Kids are so resilient. They're doing awesome. And it was kind of like a fresh start for me and the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And we just, you know, we've done counseling and all that, and it's helped. But the three of us have stuck together, and we're doing awesome. And honestly, I'm the happiest I've ever been in my whole life. I feel so free, and everything is really good for me.
I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah, me too. And don't you think, I mean, I know that, you know, we've all gone through our personal tragedy, but for me, I've always been able to use the gym as an outlet. It just has always been, like, kind of my drug, and it just was a way to... For that hour or whatever it is to think about me, because, you know, with life and everything that comes with it, you need that time. I don't know. I've always thought it's such a healing tool.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the gym helps. Cardio helps. It's just time to myself. You know, that really helps, too. Or just time alone, me and the kids. You know, whatever. Music's a big outlet for me, too.
Awesome.
Cardio and music, the iPod, that helps.
For everybody out there, Jen is doing good. She's back. Yeah. She's yeah. doing the Olympia, right?
I am doing the Olympia. I will be there with
no matter what. Yeah.
No matter what.
Yeah. Now, you are one of these dark divas, because, you know, JM sent me the picture. He's like, I want you to see these. Chrissy, did you see the picture? She's insane in
yes.
there.
Yes.
He was so cute. He sends like 10 of them, you know.
I think he was so proud of them.
He was.
You know, Jen looked, I was like, wow, she looks really like vampire-ish.
Even with
they were cute pictures.
Yeah, that was our underworld theme. I had told him I had a Halloween costume one year, and I dressed up like Kate Beckinsale from the underworld. And I kept telling JM about it because we always try to do different shoots when I go over to his studio. And we finally just did it one year, and he was so happy. That was his baby, all those pictures. That was like he acted like a new dad. He was so excited. So, yeah, aww. I think you can see those pictures on my website on jengates.com. And then I think in the new NPC News, there's a big
yes.
spread. And
yeah, that's what he said. That's what he
and
said.
Then
he does like a 9-page spread.
Yes, and there's also, he does the comic books, too. So that's where I'm the Dark Diva in his Iron Sirens. And I'm going to work a booth for him at Junior Nationals this year and try to promote and help him, you know, sell his comic book, The Iron Sirens. And it's me and Adela, Jenny Lynn. I think he added some new girls, too. I don't know if I can say them, their names or not. But, yeah, Sonia, mm-hmm.
And what is your character's name, Jen?
I'm just Jen.
That's
I'm
it.
Jen the Dark Diva.
right. Jen the Dark Diva. What else do you need? Come on, Kristen.
I know. No, I have to tell you a funny story. You know, I told Troy, I'm like, I'm so excited. Jen's coming on the show. And, you know, Troy and I have been a fan of yours forever, you know, and we always love seeing you. But he's like, he goes, you could ask me any question about Jen. He goes, and you cannot stump me. And I will tell you, I shot about 9 or 10 different questions to him after I, you know, sifted through your website and everything from my new, and he got every single one right.
Oh, that's funny. He's such a sweetheart.
Troy is one in a million, let me tell you.
So I had to share that story. I thought it was cute. I'm like, oh, you're a big Jen Gates fan. Me too.
That is cute.
Well, you're going to be prepping for this year's Olympia, so we're excited to see you back on stage. But I was wondering, are you going to continue to work with Mike Davies? Or are you just going to stay with what you've been doing or try something different?
Yeah, I have loyalties with Mike. And, you know, Mike's my friend. He's not just my trainer. He's my friend. Mm-hmm. We've gotten it, my diet, it's mostly for my diet. You know, I do my own training. Sometimes I like to go over to Columbus and, you know, get a really good butt kicking if I need it, or if I need the motivation, I'll go over there. But, you know, we've got a system down now. Like, you know, he lets me kind of be a little bit picky. He knows how I am. He knows how I diet, and it works really well. So, and it just takes all the guesswork out for me. Like, I could do my own prep, but it's just easy. I have my diet, and that's just what I do. I don't have to think about it. It's just right there in front of me. It makes my life a little bit. And, you know, with the kids and all mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. great fun stuff that we do every day, it's one thing that makes it simpler on me.
You know, Jen, I also do, like, websites. So I was checking out your website, and just wanted to know, like, tell us about who designed it. And I do see that you have a member section. I want you to tell what's in the member section and kind of get some interest going that way.
Okay. Well, the pictures in the member site are a little bit more risque than just normal pictures. And I'm not naked. But
right. But hot, right.
Yeah, they're just a little bit, they're hotter. And I also added on there, like, my contest prep and stuff like that. Cool. I'd like to expand on that. The website was designed from one of JM's guys that he has in Pittsburgh there locally. So I'd like to kind of expand on that. And I've just had a lot going on, but I'd like to work and focus and get a little bit more on there. But it's got the underworld stuff on there, which is really, really hot. And he's, you know, there's lots on there.
Yeah, website can be ever expanding. I mean, you really just, market that store too. It's weird. When I started Dave's website, I never thought it would take off. This is years ago, but it's just, you know, when you start getting out there more, you're doing the Olympia, you're doing the Arnold, like, people will buy the most random of things.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you know what? Speaking of that, that's so funny. All the species stuff. I have friends here locally and even girls that are doing shows that are taking the fiber that
oh from. Yes fiber lies
I've got to get some of that.
Yes, it's good stuff. You will have no problems.
So good.
Actually, you know what helps when you're dieting? I'll be totally honest with you, that's what I really like. I mean, Chrissy, I don't know if you can agree, but, like, you know, I get hungry, and if I'm hungry at night, I'm done, and that really settles. Like, you know, you almost think you're like having another meal. You know, you make a little fiber shake, and then it expands in your stomach, so you feel full, and that's, like,
yeah,
the key.
Yeah, it fills you up.
Yep.
Right. It fills you up, and then, you know, Troy during prep was using it, and he told Debbie Bromwell, he's like, listen, he goes, I have the best little, it's like a little cheat, he goes, but it tastes so good. So what he used to do is take a diet soda, he used to try different flavors, mix it with the fiber lies, and then freeze it for a little bit, so it's like a little slushy, and he used to eat it with a spoon, and he said it's like the most delicious thing.
Oh,
I gotta try that, Chrissy.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to get some of that fiber lies.
Yeah, we're gonna have to send some to you, Jen. I'm making a mental note.
Yeah, I've heard it.
Jeff, the producer,
great.
Write a note.
Yeah, anything that helps, you know, any, like Troy's little cocktail there. I mean, anything that helps get you through.
Jeff, what's that?
We gotta get Jen the fiber lies.
What's the thing that Sarah makes with the fiber lies?
Oh, God.
It's insane. I think it's like fiber and protein, and she puts it on a George Foreman grill, no doubt, and it makes like this bizarre pancake.
No kidding.
No, it's good though. I mean, when you're dieting, that thing tastes like amazing.
No, I bet. No kidding.
Oh God.
Jen, for those out there that don't know your website, can you just please let them know the website address?
Yes, the website address is jengates.com, JENNGATES.com.
Okay, so Jen, we are super excited that you took the time out to come on our show, and I am so glad to hear that you and the kids are doing well, and I've been thinking about you a lot, so I'm glad that we got you on here. But we just want to know, is there anything else that you wanted to share with our listeners before we let you go?
No, that's it. Just I'm going to be back at the Olympia, and I do want to thank everybody that, you know, had sent their condolences and prayers and just for thinking of me, everybody that's thought of me, all the fans, all my fellow athletes. It's been greatly appreciated and much needed, and it did help lots. And just, you know, anybody out there, you know, life throws us challenges, and you know, I think that everybody can make it through tough times. Mm-hmm. Everybody can make it through that. So, and I did, and I have. So I am doing great.
Thank you, John. That's inspirational, because believe me, there's a lot of tragedy in this world. We had a really rough year last year with losing, you know, Steve Stone, Kenny Castle. I mean, there's, you know, and you, what do? You have to live your life. They would want you to live your life, you know, so.
Exactly.
Well, Jen, thank you again so much for your time, and we'd love to have you on again. You are fun.
Awesome.
Fun.
Thank you, ladies. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we love Jen.
Really appreciate it.
Well, Chrissy, another exciting episode of Muscle Girls, Inc., and I would like to thank, and you would like to thank, and we all would like to thank our special guests, J.M. Mannion and Jen Gates, for stopping by. And until next week, Muscle Girls, Inc., it's not just a radio show.
It is who we are.
Muscle Girls, Inc. is an RxMuscle.com presentation. Listen to Colette Nelson and Chrissy Chin every week at the same time. Be sure to download this and all of our radio shows at our website, RxMuscle.com. This has been Muscle Girls, Inc.